Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Defense!
Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College Football Today.
Back on College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI. The 12 o'clock games are just underway. Toledo with a 2nd and 10 on their own 25 against Miami. We'll keep you updated on those along with the other 12 o'clock games throughout the hour. Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site with exclusively single-entry contests. It's a fun and recreational place to play with smaller leagues and flatter prize pools. They have great free promos like Survivor, Super Bowl Squares, and March Madness Bracket Contest. Sign up today and go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. Talking about the 12 o'clock games, they're underway. We see Miami and Toledo. We're turning our attention to some of the 3:30 games. I mean, we heard Jamie talk about Oklahoma State and Boise State. Shocking that I'm shocked that a lot of people on Boise State, as much as they are, I mean, Oklahoma State 10-3 over the last 3 years, guys.
I feel like it's 50-50. Yeah. I've heard a lot of Oklahoma State love, and now late, it looks like some people are going for Boise State.
Boise are a trendy team in a gaming community. Yeah. This is a game that people have had circled all year long. I think the better.
I think they're legitimate. I really do.
I mean, if they can win in Stillwater,
yeah,
I mean,
it would be a big deal.
I'll give it to them.
It was dangling at 2.5 earlier in the week. Jamie brought up a 3.5, actually. So I think the bettors this morning who like to wait to the last second realize it's like a stock. It's not getting any better. We're not getting better than the 2 right now. We better pull the trigger now. And it swung. But, guys, they went, look, I got a ticket here, plus 2.5. To minus 1, 1.5, that's a 4-point swing. Massive.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, here's another team I feel like a lot of people in Vegas are starting to back into after last week's win over Georgia Tech. It's South Florida. Now they're on the road. Well, it's actually in Soldier Field against Illinois. They dominated Illinois last year. They covered that number in South Florida. A lot of pressure on Lovie Smith. I know Blake Barnett's looked very well, but in Soldier Field, it's grass. I'm taking the 11.5 here. I'm not sold on Illinois overall. I think they can run the football with Epstein, keep this game close. South Florida might win a 3-7-point victory, but I'm taking the Illini here.
That's a lot of points. I mean, for a Big Ten team in the Midwest, South Florida still has issues. Defensively, you know, a lot of turnover from last year. Blake Barnett's done a nice job, he did it against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech has a horrible defense. Illinois, so-so as well. In Chicago, I would be inclined to take the points.
Yeah, Gabe, I mean, would you take the
Illinois
over there? Would you take the over in that game?
Off and running, guys. You know the win total was 3.5. Got 2 wins right now.
That's what they had last year, though.
They got this out of the way.
They beat Western Kentucky or Ball State last year. I forget who they beat. I have to look. I know that they started 2-0, and the thing about Illinois,
I lean Illinois in this game, guys. Yeah. Getting the double-digit points with a Big Ten team.
Would you take
home.
Them on the money line? I would take them. I mean,
no, I'm not as bold as you.
Yeah, but you're getting, I mean, to plus 10.5, you got to be getting 280, anywhere from 280 to 320. I'd be inclined. I'm not saying everything, but if you're going to take them with the points, you might as well back them to win the game. At the end of the day, it's a Big Ten versus...
I agree with your overpick. It's 58/59.
There's no Dudek to that offense. That's the only concern. Quarterback issues for...
E.J. Bush, healthy,
I'm not sure if he's 100%. Smith in a big spot. I mean, you really...
I think Lovie Smith's going to be back in the NFL before too long. I think he just, in some capacity, maybe as an assistant. I just think this college experiment is not working out. It's just not working out at Illinois. I don't know if anybody could turn Illinois around.
He doesn't have the same enthusiasm. Like Herm Edwards is a rah-rah guy. Lovie Smith is more of a calm. Yeah. I expect you to handle your
assignment. It's not going to work in Champaign. In Champaign, if you want to motivate Illinois kids, if you want to motivate kids to not go to Penn State or not go to Ohio State and go to Illinois.
It would have been a nice hire, a guy like Jeff Brohm, actually, that went to Purdue.
Yeah.
Sort of a younger, aggressive, offensive-minded coach. Because as you stated, tough to get players to, tough to recruit there right now. You got to make it fun for them. Hey, we're running a spread offense. We're going to put points up on the board. You know, you're right. Lovie Smith doesn't feel like the right school for him.
No, a little too much CEO at the college level. It's not going to get kids jacked up.
Think about some of the pedigree of Illinois football. I mean, before John McAvick with Jason Verduso, Jeff George.
I think Jeff George.
Illinois was known as linebacker. Guys like Dana Howard, Simeon Rice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the group that dominated under Lou Tepper back in the day, and they got away from the defensive side of the ball. That's why they brought Lovie Smith in, defense, and that's what he had at Chicago. But again, when you cannot move the football and all you want to do is run the football and not stretch defenses vertically, you're going to struggle in the Big Ten, and that's why they struggle.
College football is all about recruiting, and quite frankly, how many kids are overly impressed at Lovie Smith coaching the NFL when he's sitting in the kitchen?
No, they're not.
Oh, you coach, like, really?
Yeah.
And? It's not a selling point. I know, like, they thought, all right, it brings credibility. Yes, he's a dignified guy. He's not going to embarrass your program. But there's no that wow factor. At least Herm Edwards, they know Herm. Hey, there's the guy from ESPN. They don't even know Herm as a coach. There's the guy from ESPN. I know, and he's contagious. I mean, come on, man. If Herm Edwards walked in the room right now and asked us all for our wallets, we'd give it to him. Right? We'd be like, Herm, hey, he sold me on it. Yeah, he's coming back, right?
You play to win the game.
Well, especially at a place like Illinois. I mean, high school kids, talented high school kids, all they want to know is, can you get me to the league? Can you get me to the NFL? When was the last time there was a run on players from Illinois that went to the NFL? And kids know this. If you want to go to the NFL and you're playing in a Big Ten school, you're going to Michigan.
You're going to Ohio State.
Yeah. Or you need that charm and charisma of a Scott Frost at Nebraska. That works as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Somebody that brings an offensive pop. And hey,
yep.
You know, in the old days, you could sell it. Every kid that grew up in Nebraska wanted to play there in the surrounding states. Doesn't matter now. You have every kid in Nebraska on your team. Good for you. You're going to get tattooed. Yep. Well, you need to recruit from out of state. And that's what Scott Frost was able to do. By playing an offensive mind of football. And this is what they bring people in. Kids want to have fun and put points on the board.
And let's talk about, you talk about Scott Frost, quarterbacks. I mean, the last big quarterback for Illinois was Jeff George. You had Kirk Hittner and Ty Douthat. Johnson was there when they upset Michigan in 93. The last big name to come out of Illinois, Rashad Mendenhall. The running back that was played for Pittsburgh. I mean, that's been a long time since Illinois
had, like,
and Ron Turner.
Have they had anybody drafted in the, like, first couple rounds of the NFL?
I mean, not first couple of rounds. They've been in the league, but they haven't been elite.
I would say first or second round. Yeah. I cannot recall an Illinois player.
Well, same with Northwestern. I don't think Northwestern have had a player selected in the first four rounds of the NFL draft in Fitzgerald's era. But there's only so much room. Actually, you know what it is, too? I think Northern Illinois have sort of out-Illinois, in which Northern Illinois have actually recruited better and become more of a Big Ten sort of caliber football team. And then meanwhile, you've got Northwestern, which is difficult to recruit because of the academic standards that are there. It's not a flashy place. It's a lunch pail place. Chicago is a lunch pail city. The Windy City, the Bears, the Monsters of the Midway. Kids today don't want to be lunch pail.
Yeah.
They want bling.
Yeah.
They want turnover chains.
New uniforms. Thrones. Turnover chains. That's right.
Let's just be real.
Yeah.
Being real.
Quick update. Georgia up 7-0 on Middle Tennessee State. They were 30. I believe it was like 34 points over Brent Stock.
Georgia's got an interesting game. We haven't talked about Missouri-Purdue yet, but Georgia-Missouri next weekend is going to be a fascinating game. Let me throw one out to you guys. Yeah. Texas A&M, ULM. You know,
take ULM.
Here's another thing, too. We talk about look-aheads. We talk about rivalries. How about the dreaded sandwich game? Has there ever been a bigger sandwich game than what Texas A&M has this weekend? Last week, the emotional two-point loss to Clemson. Next week, Jimbo versus Nick Saban in Alabama. This week, they have to get up for the Warhawks of Louisiana Monroe with Caleb Evans. Nice quarterback. Getting 27, I think. ULM is a sneaky good pick.
Yeah, I mean, I would take the points here. I mean, let's not forget, I mean, Texas A&M lost to Alabama last year by 8 and covered that number. So they're going to be into that battle. They feel they can go toe-to-toe with Alabama in that ball game. I mean, from a speed perspective, Texas A&M has it with Travion Williams and the way Mon played last week against that Clemson defense. He threw for over 400. I could see Texas A&M covering, but you mentioned the sandwich. I would take the points. Not one of my best picks, but I would take the points. Gabe, how would you
I'm with you. Not a best bet, but it's too many at 27. That's four full touchdowns. Kid misses an extra point. We cover the number. Warhawks have some veterans back on the team. They're not a young team.
Right.
I think they can put enough points on the board to hang around in this game.
Here's one that I'll throw out, and the line's moving up, and I'm shocked at it because Tulane and Coach Fritz have done a fantastic job, and Jonathan Banks, the way he played against Wake Forest, they're on the road against UAB. That line opened up around 1.5.
Yeah.
I like UAB.
So do I.
But now the line is up to 3.5.
Where?
And a lot of money coming in on Tulane.
Wow.
I mean, defensively, here's the thing, too. If you're UAB, you want to stretch Tulane vertically, jump up on them the way Hartman and Wake Forest did. But it is a contrast. Even though Tulane has a better passing offense, they still want to pound the rock. So which team could dictate tempo? I still think Coach Clark is the better head coach in this matchup.
Close. I like both of those head coaches.
Play, though, Ederle over
Jonathan
Banks.
Banks is a nice
He's
quarterback.
A mobile guy,
surprisingly
too.
Good quarterback. Both teams want to run the ball. I think in Birmingham, UAB's been a little bit up and down so far this season. UAB at home, I like them to be Tulane.
7-0 Miami over Toledo. They just pounded it in, and Oklahoma has a 2nd-and-3 on their own 35. 11:33 left to play. Penn State up 7-0 on Kent in that ballgame as well. So keep everyone updated.
Do we have any questions, any live stuff happening, Gabe, that you want to throw out to us?
Yeah, we'll check back in. I'm just
here's one, too.
I'm just starting to get frustrated because I'm not seeing points in Florida State and Syracuse. Oklahoma and Iowa State just underway. Nothing going on there. Yeah, we have a question asking, what do we think is the biggest upset today? Somebody's looking for a big upset, money line underdog that's going to win outright. We talked about San Diego State.
I mean, that's, you know,
when you're getting 5 points, plus 170, plus 190.
I mean, I
that's
took
not
Colorado,
a monster upset.
I took Colorado State on the money line, plus 800 over Florida.
That's ballsy.
I mean, here's the thing. I think they're going to cover. They got a hot quarterback in Carter Samuels. You have a coach in Mike Bobo that coached within the SEC and has faced Florida defenses time and time again. Again, where's the emotional mindset of Florida? It's a catch-22 because they can come out hot, they can come out focused, or they can come out flat after last week's loss. I'll roll the dice. I think the best upset for me is Colorado State plus the 20.5, and more importantly, plus 800 on the money line.
Rich?
What about TCU? I mean, you like TCU
like
possibly,
too.
That would be a pretty big upset.
Plus 450. Plus
yeah, you know what I'm going to throw out? It's not that big of an upset. I think Utah, they are an underdog, 5.5, 6-point underdog. I think Utah over Washington, which would be an epic fail for the Pac-12, because if Washington suffers a second loss, you might as well possibly forget about the Pac-12 getting into the college football playoff. How about this one, too? I really think Vanderbilt is in that game with Notre Dame throughout.
You're going to get a lot of wood with that. You're going to get a lot of value. I mean, you're going to get plus 360.
I think Vanderbilt
plus
could hang.
Plus 425 Vandy money line. Plus 425.
How about
I think it's a four-quarter game.
How about LSU? We all like LSU.
How about LSU?
Yeah, that's not a bad pick.
I think LSU is a close one.
I took them plus three. I took them in a parlay, plus 300.
Yeah.
I think it'll be low scoring. If they jump up early, LSU will be in this game from start to finish.
That's a good thought.
They don't fear all.
I don't want to force a bigger favorite than I have to. I'm going to stick with the San Diego State Aztecs.
I like them.
Even with the injury situations, I think the Aztecs win this game outright.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have them.
That
already
would be a very San Diego State kind of thing to do, wouldn't it be? that would be such an Aztec move to knock
and
off
then
Herm.
Go to the beach after.
And Herm's hope for an undefeated season.
Well, here's one, too. I mean, we're going to talk about it, but I like the over in North Texas and Arkansas. That over 69, Arkansas's defense giving up around 300 passing yards per game. Mason Fine and that offense come in. Carter Samuels lit them up. Arkansas transitioning. I think there's going to be a lot of points there.
You know what's been a big surprise so far this year for me, which has me intrigued by North Texas? The Mean Green defense through the first couple of games playing pretty well. Now, we think about North Texas, and first thing that comes to mind, obviously, is Seth Luttrell, it's Mason Fine, it's the ability to move up and down the field really quickly. But the defense through two games playing pretty well, I wonder if they'll cause some problems for Arkansas and a very good offensive line.
If they can come up with a couple of stops, they're a dangerous football team.
Yes,
they're
agreed.
Like an arena. If you guys watch an arena football, guys, if you get one or two stops, you win the game. It's almost like this with North Texas. If they can start to get three or four stops a game, their offense is so good, they're going to win football games. I lost a big over on that first game of the year against SMU. one of the hottest teams in football and a team we have to talk about as a legitimate playoff contender now, Hawaii. Well, you're just kidding as far as playoffs, but 7-0 Hawaii.
Wow.
You should be upset here. You should be ready to explode.
Oh, no, what, did someone fumble on the goal line?
Oklahoma on the 9 against Iowa State, and Syracuse moving the football against Florida State. It's early, but we'll see how those games play out.
Oh, okay, explode in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
I thought you meant I was going to
explode. His head was going to explode.
Yeah, no, you're going to tell me, you're going to explode. Oklahoma just fumbled on the goal line.
No. How about this game? I miss State laying a lot here. It's 7:30 tonight. They're laying 33.5. I love what Moorhead's done in, you know, with that victory over K-State. I wouldn't lay the 33.5, but you have a feeling on that game?
Yeah, I mean, after a big game on the road against Kansas State, I'm never a fan of dropping 33.5 points. Big picture, though, folks, Mississippi State is for real. I really believe.
Might have gotten an upgrade, too, with Coach Moorhead. I mean.
Yeah, offensively, you know, Nick Fitzgerald's got the one game under his belt. Now you have Kylan Hill. Who was talking Kylan Hill in the offseason? Kid rushes for 200 yards against Kansas State. Now you have some balance on offense, the ability to really pound it between the tackles. Great SEC defense. I'm intrigued by Mississippi State for the rest of the season.
We got asked about Central Michigan and Northern Illinois.
That's one of my best bets of
Seems like Northern Illinois should lay the wood.
I totally agree.
I was on
Northern Illinois. Yeah.
From the show perspective, they were getting 10.5. They wound up covering that game. He threw a pick six, Northern did, with about 1.5 minutes left to seal the deal. They stood toe-to-toe with Utah in that ballgame. I mean,
and actually, they played, until it got away from them, they played pretty well early on against Iowa. So now after those two big Power 5 opponents, now you go against Central Michigan, which has beaten Northern Illinois the last four, so there's a revenge factor. Laying two touchdowns, Northern Illinois is one of my best bets.
When we come back, we'll be breaking down the other 3:30, 8 o'clock games. Keep it where it is. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci live from Studio 34.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI. Great matchup taking place, Rich, between Missouri and Purdue. This is a game that Purdue dominated last year, 35-3. David Blough had a great day. He completed 72% of his passes, over 300 passing yards. I mean, you look at the offense for Missouri, never got it going last year under Josh Heupel in that matchup. Now they have possibly one of the most prolific quarterbacks entering week number 3 in Drew Locke. Do you see what happens for this week 3 matchup between Missouri and Purdue?
Well, I listen, I'm not going to get too cute about this one. I know you kind of want to go the opposite way and say, well, this is the week that Purdue turns it up. Maybe Missouri's looking ahead to Georgia. I don't see it that way. Purdue has been unimpressive. I know they could be 2-0. Those were two close losses to Northwestern. But Eastern Michigan last week, they just couldn't get things going. The quarterbacks have been average. They've been running the ball. I like this Missouri football team, and not just for Drew Locke and Emmanuel Hall on offense, but the defense. Barry Odom in the offseason said, don't sleep on our defense. This is a good defensive unit. And they've looked that way so far. So I think they go on the road, get revenge, and cover this number. One of my best bets. I think Missouri wins going away.
It opened at 7.5. It's under a touchdown. You mentioned that defense. Last year, they allowed around 232 rushing yards per game a couple of years ago, and that was the one MO under Barry Odom. They got it down last year over the last 7 games of the season, right in the area of 108 yards per game. Entering this matchup game, they're only allowing 91 rushing yards to opposing offenses. I mean, that's the matchup. Can Purdue in these quarterbacks, Sindelar and Blough, they're only completing around 60% of their passes. Can they move the football against this Missouri defense?
Well, first things first, I want to apologize for stepping into your camera shot there. I'm so used to doing the radio. I didn't know we were still on. You know, quick commercial break. I would have kneeled. I would have done a Kaepernick. I would have kneeled under the camera there. So I just want a quick update here. It's field goal fest. What, are you watching NFL football suddenly?
That's why I'm talking about college football. You're not happy. You were happier when they were in the red zone.
No,
but
field
now,
goal Syracuse, yeah. Field goal Oklahoma.
And Kent moving the football on Penn State. Wouldn't that be a shocker? 35.
No, this is not a bad, it's too late for picks, but this is not a bad Kent State football team.
By
the Kent State measuring stick, it's a slightly improved program. I think they could actually cover the number, but irrelevant now that the game has started.
And just quick note, Zeb Nolan is getting the start.
Okay,
at Iowa
so no
State.
Kyle Kemp. Okay,
moving the football, they're at the 49 of Oklahoma in that battle. But
wow, 9-0 Kansas over Rutgers.
Wow, oof.
Early as extra point pending.
Were they underdogs when that game took off?
Kansas was laying, I think, two and a half.
It ended up closing at a pick. There was the late steam. It ended up closing at a pick 'em.
In that match, which is pretty interesting when you think about it. We'll turn our attention. I know we're going to get into a heated discussion on which coach is more underrated. Is it Major Applewhite? Is it Cliff Kingsbury? I'm all over Cliff Kingsbury.
Did you say under or overrated?
Everybody hypes Texas Tech over the last few years. They beat up on less competition.
I don't think anybody's hyping Texas Tech.
In the Big 12 country, he still has his job.
I think the ladies hype up Cliff Kingsbury because he looks like Ryan Gosling.
Now,
but
if you wore my jacket.
Nobody's hyping up Texas Tech.
I think Gosling might know more about defense than Kingsbury does.
Well, they got
defending
this,
all the groupies.
they got this victory last year. They were able to force turnovers and score off those turnovers. Now they're a home dog, a very hot team in Houston that dominated Khalil Tate in Arizona last week. I mean, they put up a 38 spot on that defense early on. I mean, here's the matchup. I mean, Ed Oliver going up against that front set, that offensive line of Texas Tech. Can they hold back Houston's front seven? I don't think they can. I like a hot team here with Tariq King at quarterback. I'm calling for the 10-point Houston Cougar road win here, guys.
You know, with all the kidding aside and the shots that we take at Kingsbury, he picks good games to win.
He does.
You know, he beats Houston. He beats Texas. He beats teams where it's one of these deals. You know, it's like,
booster wins.
Yeah, if you're in a relationship and things aren't going well, it's like, yeah, I don't know, man. I think maybe it'd be best if we didn't see each other. Then you had a great weekend together, and you're like, I'm not going to bring that up. I think we could work things out. And I think that's almost the instance with Texas Tech. I think that the boosters and the administrators think, you know, we might have to make a change soon, but man, he just beat Texas. And let's be real, Texas Tech, let's give credit where credit's due. Texas Tech's defense has improved. They improved last year. They've improved so far this year as well, although a little bit of improvement. They get blasted by Mississippi. I like Houston a lot in this spot. We're talking about a double revenge spot as well. Texas Tech have beaten them the last two times they played. I like what I see from the Houston Cougars offensively. And we know defensively the Cougars can ball. They're dropping 45 points a game up on the board. It was a steal last week. The number was too short. We jumped on Houston the last second against Arizona. To me, I'm missing something here. I'm all over Houston. I already played it. I'm holding a ticket in my hand.
Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, last year's total was through the roof, and they played an under. Now you have a Houston defense that's given up 330 passing yards per game. That's the strength of Texas Tech. So does the over come into play?
Last three times they played, it's gone under the number. Albeit they played last year, but they didn't play 2009, 2010. So.
Right.
But nevertheless, 3-0 to the under.
Last year was a high number. I think it was in the area of about 71,
68.
68 for today, but last
year. No, last year, 68.
Last year, 68.
Yes.
I think it might have.
Joe, I think you touched on the key, which is Derek King. I mean, last year there was some question marks as to the quarterback. It was kind of a fluid situation for Major Applewhite. Not this year. I mean, King looked fantastic last year. He could make plays outside the pocket, threw a bunch of touchdown passes. Now you have some pop. You have some playmakers out of Houston. Plus, you got Ed Oliver on the other side of the ball. Isaiah Chambers. He's not getting the double teams that Oliver's getting, so he's able to roam free. I'm just not sold on Texas Tech. I mean, they don't have a healthy McLean Carter, who was supposed to be the starting quarterback, has not been healthy. So they've gone with Alan Bowman, a true freshman quarterback. So I'm all in on Houston. I know Arizona's down, But Houston really impressed me last
week. And here's the thing, you bring up King. He's more of a Major Applewhite, Tom Herman type of quarterback. Greg Ward Jr., and then they went to Postma. They also had Allen from Texas A&M. Not the same type of quarterback. King is more of a mobile guy, could put some pressure.
Like on a Greg Ward.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's the one thing I think you see about the transition. I mean, he's thrown for 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. As long as he's clean with the football, guys, I think they could be in. I think they dictate the tempo, jump up early. I don't think Texas Tech can match them score for score. But I got to get this in. Upset special, possibly. Kent State adds a touchdown.
Wow.
7 apiece in Beaver Stadium, which is very intriguing when you think about it, because Penn State, I said it before the year, was 14-0 over the last 2 years under James Franklin at home. Entering 2018, they won those 14 games by 24.8 points per game. They struggled against App State, 1-7. Now laying 35 at home to Kent State. They're midway through the first. It's 7 apiece in this ballgame. If Penn State struggles or is in a position to lose, this could be devastating for the Big Ten.
A little early for that. I don't anticipate that to be the case, but this could be the kind of year where Penn State plays to the level of the competition. So they're still working in a lot of new starters, both offensively and defensively.
After pummeling an in-state rival last week, this is...
By the second half, they'll take off and run away. I think it comes down to whether or not they cover that. What was it, like 5 touchdowns?
It's like a morning jog, Joe. They're going for a jog. They're going to start picking up the pace. You know, they're going to pick up the pace.
Work out the kinks.
Nevada, Oregon State, we're being asked about.
Nevada. I would take Oregon State.
I got
asked about this.
They've got some skill position players. I was impressed, and you talked about it in week 1 against Ohio State.
Luton can move the football. Here's the thing, too. Nevada, from a physicality perspective, offensive, defensive lines, if you're Oregon State, you're saying, I could play toe-to-toe with this team. I can move them on both sides of the ball. And more importantly, you look at Oregon State last year, they brought it against Stanford. When they're focused, they put up 34 on Ohio State. I don't see any reason why they can't.
Well, folks, remember the name Jamar Jefferson, because, you know, Oregon State has learned early in this season that they have their bell cow in the running game. True freshman running back from the state of California, rushed for more than 200 yards last week. I know it was a weaker opponent, but Nevada is not a good defensive team, allowed more than 475 yards per game last year. So Jamar Jefferson, I think, runs well again. Jake Luton at the quarterback position. I think Oregon State makes it 2 wins in a row.
I agree. I think they win this ball game. I mean, I'm not sold on Nevada from a physical perspective in this ball game. You like that matchup or no?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Beavers as well. I like the skill position players. I think Nevada's going in the right direction. Polian really ran the program into the ground. It's going to take a couple of years to turn it around. We're getting a lot of questions about Fresno. It's going to be a fun late night football game, isn't it? Fresno gets an opportunity to get a feather in the cap, sort of like San Diego racking up a Pac-12 win every year. I don't know if Fresno can do this. I've been disappointed with UCLA out of the gate here.
I can't back them, though. I can't back them with anything. I mean, you're asking UCLA to win this ball game. I mean, you look at Fresno. They lost that ball game by 7 points to a physical Minnesota team.
It's tough going to the Midwest. Yeah, that was a tough spot for him last week.
I think they have the better quarterback. I think they have the better offense and defense lines. And I think Tedford's coached better at this point in his career, you know, second coming, and UCLA and Kelly right now. He's
it's tough a game. A lot will hinge on Dorian Thompson-Robertson. I'm excited that we're beginning to see sort of early signs, whiffs of what 2019 will look like. This is going to be a bad UCLA team, but Chip realizes, albeit because of an injury to Wilton Spade, he's going to go to the young quarterback. Showed some signs of life last week against Oklahoma. I was surprised they did cover that 30-point spread. I think they lost by 28. I'll take UCLA in this game. Fresno State disappointed me last week. I thought they would have played much better against Minnesota, lost to an average Big Ten team. I think UCLA notches its first win of the Chip Kelly era.
I think if I had to play this game, I'm going to go with the over. I think the number's just a little bit low at the 50.5 here right now. And as they say on the street, the old gun-to-head play, I'd have to go with the UCLA Bruins here. You know, they're going to have to win a football game eventually. To me, it's just a tough spot for Fresno State to go to Minnesota, now to come back, and now go to Los Angeles to take on the Bruins. The quarterback situation is not a good one. I expected more. The win total was 5.5 when it came into the year for UCLA. They're not getting there. I mean, this football team's not winning 6 games.
Let's talk about the game that I brought up. I love the over, Arkansas and North Texas. I mean, Arkansas jumped up 27-9 to Colorado State, lost the ball game 34-27. I mean, it is a transition with Chad Morris and their new offense. They now face a very high-octane offense, but I think it is the physicality, both sides of the ball. I think it's high-scoring. I think Arkansas dictates the tempo. I think they cover the number, and more importantly, the over comes in. That's my best play in this game.
This is an opportunity for the country to learn a little bit about Seth Luttrell in North Texas. Seth Luttrell is a former fullback from Oklahoma, longtime assistant, now the head coach at North Texas. And we touched on it briefly in the last hour. North Texas is defined by their passing game. Mason Fine, 5'11", 180 pounds, doesn't look the park. But he is very accurate, very prolific passer. They have the offense, but playing better defense this year, too. And for Seth Luttrell and that North Texas staff, this is about an audition for athletic directors around the country. You go out and you beat an SEC team, Seth is out of here. I think he's at a major program in 2019.
Well, Gabe, you like
they're 5-0. They're 5-0, the Mean Green ATS, their last five tilts against SEC teams. But spread's pretty low here, Joe.
Yeah, 7.
I'm looking, if I'm taking a Sun Belt team, I got to be getting double digits on the road against an SEC team.
That's why I would take Arkansas here. Here's the thing as well. I just think Whaley's going to have a big game. You're talking about a team in North Texas that's averaging 457 passing yards per game. Carter Samuels lit them up. I mean, that's going to be the recipe. Can they do it? We'll see. But I think if you're Chad Morris, rely on the running game, and I think that's
the storyline in this game is big game for North Texas. Yeah, I know a lot of fans don't pay a lot of attention to the Mean Green, but this is a program that played very well last year, has a chance for a statement victory.
Big opening game against SMU.
Yeah, they doubled them up. I think it was 46-23 in that game.
It's intriguing. I think the over's a play. Over hasn't moved. 68, 69.
The number feels low, but it's low for a reason.
Because they want you to think. That's the one thing, too.
Well, they're trying to reel you in.
They want you to think. Why is it so low? Why is it only 7? Why? But again, it's not one of my strong.
Could be an overreaction to the collapse last week against Colorado State.
And last week, they opened up, Arkansas did, as an 11.5-point road dog. They bought that up to 14.
I'd go over.
I'm taking it.
Gabe, now that Justin Bieber has announced he is going to become an American citizen, when will you be next?
Well, I was going to say, I thought you were going to ask now when I become engaged, or hopefully I can cash in on all the women that that want to be with Bieber.
When will you become an American citizen?
I don't know if they want that.
We will accept you with open arms.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Uncle Rich. George, I don't know. I don't know if Jeff Sessions will. That's another story.
Georgia up 14-0 on Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee having a rough start to
Florida
the season.
Florida State just got a turnover, I believe. It was 1st and 10 on the Florida State 27 for Syracuse, and now they have the football. 1st and 10, 3:40 left in that matchup. Oklahoma, 3-point lead over Iowa State. And Penn State.
I'll say one thing about Florida State. If Florida State goes down in the Carrier Dome, if they go down, you know, they're down 3-0. If it's like 10-0, I wonder if there's any heart in that team. I wonder if they could rally back in the second half or if
I agree with you.
Has Willie lost these kids just 3 games into the season?
I think there's a lack of character, leadership.
There was last year. Remember what happened last year? They collapsed as soon as Francois got hurt.
Let's keep an eye on this. It's early. Clemson struggled last week, held on 28-26. They face a Georgia Southern team that's on the road. They're 33-point favorites. No score with 2 minutes left in the first quarter.
We've seen Clemson stumble at least once a year. We talked about the Syracuse game a couple of years ago. Nate Peterman.
Troy, they had trouble. NC State, they almost lost to.
Only because NC State missed the field goal.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, Clemson, you can catch Clemson sleepwalking every now and then. We're getting asked about Virginia and Ohio.
Love Virginia. Now, that game, we have to note, that game was supposed to be played in Charlottesville. It's now being played at Vandy. Line opened up around 6 or 7. They got it down to about 3.5. It's back up to about 5.5, 6. Here's the thing that I look at. Ohio benched their starting quarterback last week, Nathan Rourke. He only played a quarter. They gave way to Maxwell. But Ohio struggled with Howard. They allowed 484 passing yards to that offense. Year number 2 of Bronco Mendenhall. I love Bryce Perkins at the quarterback position. I think Virginia dominates this ball game. I think they're the superior team. I'm picking double digits. Virginia rolls.
Is it a double digit victory?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect
We need some kind of branding.
double digits. Yeah,
the word of the day.
Joey, double digits.
Like, I don't know. I've never heard him pick a game. It's going to be a one-point game. It's going to be a field goal game.
It's going to be close.
Why would you even? I can't even.
Here's a news flash, Joe. Some games are close.
Now, in the NFL, more in the NFL than college. You look across, every game is about 10 points or more.
I like what Bronco's doing. I'm always leery of Frank Solich, though. He's such a good coach at Ohio, though. That defense is always scrappy. They always seem to have a running back who can rush for 100 yards.
I'm leaning with the points here, guys.
You're taking the 5?
I don't like betting unders, but doesn't this game feel like an under 54?
Every Virginia game feels like an under because, by God, when was the last time they had a good offense?
Yeah, I'm going under here. Let's go.
I think Matt Schaub was the last time they had a good quarterback.
I'm going under.
Kurt Benkert was good. I liked him. When we come back, we'll be giving our best bets for the day. Keep it where it is. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci live from Studio 34.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Today brought to you by BetDSI, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci. For the next 20 minutes, going to go through our best bets for this coming weekend. We already spoke about it. Florida State's underway. They trail 3-0, but I like Florida State here. 4 o'clock game. I'm taking the 20.5 with Colorado State. Think they could be in a position to strike the upset as well. Also like them on the money line. +800. I'm laying the 6 points with Virginia. It's a neutral field site in Nashville at Vanderbilt over Ohio. I'm taking the 9.5, taking the 10 with LSU. Think they get a 24-20 win over Auburn. Iowa State also underway. USC to me, guys, I think they bounce back in a big way. I like USC. I also lean to the over in that matchup, and I'm taking San Diego State and Rocky Long +5.5. I'm also taking them +195 on the money line. Think they strike the upset over Herm Edwards and Arizona State later today.
Okay, I've got 8 games. Feeling generous today. 2 of them already have started. Miami laying 10 against Toledo. I've got Tennessee. I think Tennessee's got a rare opportunity to shove somebody around. I think they beat up on UTEP, and I don't think they take the foot off the gas the rest of the way. So Tennessee laying 30. I like at 12 o'clock. Later games, Alabama to roll over Ole Miss. Both teams are going to score. I think you'll go over in this game, but I like Alabama to cover that 20, I think, is what we saw that when we put it in. Arizona State, I disagree with Joe. San Diego State is not the same team it's been over the past couple of years. Arizona State has San Diego State's former defensive coordinator. They run the same 3-3-5. He knows the personnel. Herm has got these kids motivated. I think they get to 3-0 heading into Washington next week. Wisconsin, big over BYU, laying 3 touchdowns. Missouri, Purdue. Purdue has not looked good. Missouri has looked great. I don't care that it's in West Lafayette. I'll lay that touchdown and take the Tigers. Vanderbilt, I think, is going to be in the game with Notre Dame throughout. I love the fact that they're getting 14, possibly more than 14 and a half. Their defense, that is an old school SEC defense. You got a veteran quarterback in Kyle Shurmur who will not be spooked by going into South Bend. So I like Vandy over Notre Dame. And finally, my MAC special. Last week I gave you Eastern Michigan. This week the MAC special is Northern Illinois laying 2 touchdowns against Central Michigan. Chippewas lost to Kansas last week. Northern Illinois is angry. They kind of took it on the chin against Iowa and then Utah last week. They're with the Utes throughout. I think they cover these 2 touchdowns against Central Michigan. Gabe?
I'm just going to take Rich's picks, considering how bad my picks were last week. He sold me on Northern Illinois. I do like Northern Illinois a lot, but let's jump in. I had a lot of early overs, and I'm looking for points right now. It's been a field goal fest so far. We got in touchdowns. The Hawaiian Army were off and running up to 21 points right now. We got the over in the FSU in the Syracuse game. Oklahoma up 10-0 on the Cyclones right now. So let's get down to business with the game still on the board. LSU Tigers. To me, Auburn just don't have the discrepancy in talent that LSU do. The big difference to me has just been the quarterback position, and I think the kids are just that much more confident right now in Joe Burrow and what he brings to the table. You know, is he going to win the Heisman Trophy? No, but he's a competent quarterback that can take a hit and can extend a drive with his feet. This is a much tougher test going into the plains here to get it done. But 10.5 points in a series that generally plays very close games. Give me the double-digit points with the LSU Tigers. I'm getting greedy with Greedy Williams and company. Boise State, I've had this game circled all year long. I've gone on record as saying I don't think Boise State are going to lose a football game this year, at least in a regular season. I think they will be playing in a big-time bowl game. And Oklahoma State have always been an overrated program. Oklahoma State lost to Central Michigan in this spot before. Gundy has an underachieving football team. Boise State has been building up for this. This is Harsin's best team that he's had. They've got great skill position players. They've got an experienced quarterback, and they've got a great defense. I think they'll be able to handle the Cowboys in this spot. Houston Cougars. To me, I just don't understand the number in this game, yet Texas Tech have beaten them two consecutive years in a row, so I like them even more. Double revenge spot for Ed Oliver and company. I'm not Applewhite's biggest fan, and we talked about Kingsbury earlier, but I just think that Houston are a much better football team. I'm not intimidated by the road angle of this. Texas and USC, I think we've shortchanged this game a little bit just because of the sexiness of the programs, but they both underachieved coming into this game. I think Tom Herman finally gets his signature win. It's up to 3.5. You might have to bite a half point, get it down to 3. I just think that Daniels is a little, he's been thrown into the fire a little bit too quickly. If USC would have had an easier schedule to start the year, I think it would have behooved them more. But playing at Stanford, now going to Texas, pretty tough spot. And finally, in closing, yes, I'm aware of the injuries on the San Diego State Aztecs. I don't care. Give me the Aztecs to cover the number. I think they're going to win the game outright. These were all my picks that I played earlier when I was at the book. A couple of bonus picks. I'm going to jump on Rich's Northern Illinois. I'll lay the points. And I'll tell you what, Joe, I got to bet the over in this Alabama-Ole Miss game tonight.
Yeah, that's an intriguing one. I was looking at some of the totals for late, 10:30. Out of all the late games, guys, I mean, USC, Texas, Ohio State, TCU, you got Washington, Utah, Fresno State, and UCLA, and then Arizona State, San Diego State. Which over would you take? Because the two that jump out to me is Washington, Utah, and USC, Texas. Out of all of those five games, the one total that's a little shocking to me is the Ohio State line, 58.5 for a total. If you expect Ohio State to dominate, if you expect an Ohio State to dominate, you could see 40 there, right? I mean,
I'm not so sure TCU scores. You need two to dance to get to an over.
How about late? How about second half scoring? Maybe Ohio State steps off a little bit.
Yeah, starts off slow.
Could be.
I just don't. What do you guys think? I mean, Robinson could run the football, the quarterback at Texas Christian. You know, the passing attack is a little bit. They're playing uphill if they're going to have to throw the football.
You could get a little something out of Kevontae Turpin. He's one of those players that special teams, jet sweep. You do a little inside handoff. He's the kind of player that could
last week, actually.
Yeah, he could just pop one off. I could see going over in the Ohio State TCU game because I don't think anybody's stopping the Ohio State offense and TCU in comeback mode. You know, this looks to me like a 42-24 type game.
Well, here's the thing, too, guys. Let's not forget, we know Urban Meyer's on the sidelines in terms of practice. He's been back this week, and he's coaching the team. Intangible-wise, we know Gary Patterson's a big-game head coach. Any factor here? I think it could play slightly, especially on the defensive side of the ball, in terms of blitz packages.
I don't think the game is close enough, Joe, for it to matter.
I'd be shocked if Ohio State rolls the way you guys. I really would.
Well, give me a final score. You have.
I think it'll be an under now, just because. Again, if you're TCU,
you have Ohio State winning.
I have Ohio State. Yeah, I could see 30-20.
Okay.
You know, I could see 30-23. Right. I
34-17 off the top of my head. I was in that range.
So you would be in the under camp as well.
I would not be shocked if TCU can dictate the tempo and run the football and keep Haskins on the sidelines. They're going to have to get into a lower scoring game, and I think that's the MO. Which now, if they can do that, it wouldn't shock me.
That would surprise me. I just too many athletes.
I mean, again, I.
The game is won at the line of scrimmage, and you know, we all talk about Clemson's defensive line. Ohio State has an elite defensive line. You know, Nick Bosa, Draymond Jones, they go too deep as well. TCU's offensive line this year is average, and I think they struggle at the point of attack. If they can knock it off their blocks, it's going to be a hard time to establish.
Rieger's an intriguing kid, too. I mean, he could be utilized in the punt game. I mean, they utilize him on fly sweeps. He's only about 5'11", 6 foot. He's the son a former defensive end for Texas A&M, Monty Rieger.
Really?
Yes.
So, well, listen, if you're saying that Gary Patterson's a great coach and TCU has the ability to hang with Ohio State for a while, I wouldn't argue with you. I mean, TCU is a very well-coached program. I think this comes down to athletes. And Dwayne Haskins, you know, you look at the way he's playing. Maybe he wasn't ready last year, but as bad as JT Barrett was at times last year, it's almost surprising that Urban Meyer didn't turn his offense over to Dwayne Haskins at some point in 2017.
It's an upgraded quarterback.
Big time.
It's an upgraded quarterback. And as a Michigan fan, I don't cheer for kids to get hurt. I don't cheer for pros to get hurt. I'm not, oh, good, the quarterback's out. But I'm a Michigan fan. It was Michigan, Ohio State. I didn't want Barrett to be hurt.
You didn't shed a tear when
he
went
down. As far as like in the game was concerned, I was like, well, I hope he's all right, but all right. You know what I mean? And then it took me about five plays, Rich. I was like, oh, God. I was like, oh, no, this guy's like way better. I get right away, like the eyeball test, running around sharp. I was like, oh, no, now I got to deal with this guy in my life for the next few years. It's to me, it's a good test for Ohio State to go on the road. But I think TCU are a little – this isn't the old TCU teams. And even the old TCU teams, they're playing in the Mountain West.
You mean TCU like Max Nacky TCU?
Well, not that old.
You're thinking like Trevon Boykin maybe?
Trevon Boykin. Even a little Casey Printers.
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton was actually the one who sort of started putting him on the map.
2000 TCU. You're thinking in that area. 2000 TCU back in the
day. Well, when was Andy Dalton? What, 2008-ish?
No, I think he was more recent. I think he was more
Printers
recent.
Was there in the mid-2000s.
He hasn't been in the pros for 10 years, Dalton, has he?
I'm going back a ways with Casey Printers, aren't I?
Yeah, here's one intriguing statistic. Seriously, I mean, this is mind-boggling.
Casey Pahal.
Third down conversions for Ohio State through two games, 72%.
Wow. And
not
listen,
50,
you could say,
50,
you could say Oregon State and Rutgers, but those are still Power Five teams.
Three
I mean, to me, that's unbelievably impressive.
3/4 of their opportunities on third down, they're converting, and that's why they're averaging 64 points per game. If you're taking the over, you want to convert on third down. And
upset alert.
Kent State.
Troy's up 9-0. Extra point pending on Nebraska.
Here's the thing about Nebraska. A lot of pressure.
You said
it's a lot of pressure on Scott Frost to turn it around
instantly.
Well, he doesn't have his quarterback either. I think the kid's a walk-on who's starting now.
But it's Nebraska. They struggled last year with Arkansas State. They lost that battle. They did not step up against the better teams on their schedule. Had the worst rushing offense and defense in over 20 years. That doesn't happen in Lincoln. It just doesn't. And different type of scheme. So that's the one thing. I mean, I'd be shocked to see if they can hold on. I mean, they're getting 11.5. So now the pressure falls on Birch in that offense now to play for
And now doesn't Boise State look – I'm not one of these 2+2 math guys when it comes to matching up teams, but we saw Boise State go into Troy and roll them pretty handily. Now we have a Troy team going into Nebraska up 10-0 early.
Yeah, 10-3 now, Oklahoma up, guys, on Iowa State. Here's the other thing, too.
14-0 Canes.
About Ohio State and Haskins. I mean, what was his odds at the start of the year? He wasn't in the top 10 guys for Heisman.
He had to be on the board. I would say he probably
was,
started.
He was.
About 75 to 1, maybe?
No, it was lower than that. No. He was like 15 to 1.
That's still great value. I mean, he's converting 79% of his passes.
Go, let's just give it to Tua right now. Let's be real.
If Ohio State could get to the college football playoff, it's going to be because of Haskins.
I'm rooting for Will Grier. Let's see what happens with West Virginia.
That game hurts his chances. It's going to hurt for at the end of the year if we do have a logjam of teams that are going to be there for the committee to select West Virginia's quality win out of conference is going to come against Tennessee at this point. It would have looked a lot better with an ACC opponent, NC State, on their resume. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Yeah, there's nothing you could do about it. Yeah.
I mean, it'll be intriguing. I mean, we'll see how that game plays out. Clemson, 4th-and-1 on Georgia State's 1-yard line, 9:11 left in the second, as 33-point favorites in that ballgame. That's not a good effort, letdown after you win by 2 points in College Station. I know you come out flat, but you got to give it a better effort than that.
Speaking of poor efforts, how about Florida State being shut out in the first quarter against Syracuse?
Yeah, and evidently, the offensive line looks every bit as bad as it has in the first two games.
Syracuse guys. That could be a stout defensive team.
Dumpster fire waiting to happen at this point.
Haggard's going to be under a lot of pressure this year.
Yeah.
This could get ugly fast.
We'll see. Pump the brakes.
Oh, no, I'm not suggesting this is over, but listen, it's a bad football team.
20-7 now, Penn State up over Kent State.
Give me the storyline after week three. What do you think the headline's going to be once we get to, we wake our sleepy eyes on Sunday morning? What do you think the headline is going to be for week three?
Unfortunately, it's going to be the return of Urban Meyer. It's going to be the debate whether this is Nick Saban's best team ever and whether Boise State belongs in the playoffs.
I like that. I'm with you on that. I like Boise State as well. And that we could have by the end of the weekend.
Is the schedule tough enough, Rich? Probably not.
You know, it's going to depend upon what other teams do. Do we have two SEC powerhouses?
So a San Diego State winning tonight would be massive against Arizona.
And Utah winning as well, because if you eliminate a Pac-12 contender for the college football playoff, maybe Boise State could fill that void as a perfect record.
I think the headlines are LSU is legit in the SEC West. If they win today and knock off Auburn on the Plains, we're going to hear about Alabama, but we also have to start talking about LSU now with back-to-back dominant wins.
Interesting.
over top 10 opponents.
Miami and Auburn, you're right. That would be a tremendous start.
If LSU can get a rolling, I mean, I think Eddie O will be off the hot seat in a big way in that ballgame. What do you think the storyline is after week three?
I like the Boise State angle. I really do, because I think they're going to go into Stillwater and walk away with a victory. And I think the country's going to realize that this is a team that is more than just blue turf and fancy offenses. This is now Brian Harsin's team. We're long past the Chris Peterson days. And this is a team that could actually not only contend for a New Year's Six bowl game, but possibly get into the discussion for the playoff. I think that's going to be the storyline. And then also, Urban Meyer. I mean, if Ohio State can navigate, they should have beaten Oregon State and Rutgers, obviously. But if they get through TCU, get to 3-0 without Urban Meyer, they can exhale and start to make a run for another Big Ten title.
I'll say negative. Tom Herman, Clay Helton, whoever loses that ball game, will hear a lot of that.
Interesting.
A lot of pressure on Chip Kelly. Everybody was supposed to – we talked about Mora not being able to.
Oh, way too early, Joe. Nobody expected anything.
0-3 is a real black eye.
Yeah,
Listen, the number was 5.5. The number was five and a half.
People thought Chip Kelly was the savior to come back. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be, but if he starts 0-3, people are going to be like, 0-3 for Chip Kelly in UCLA? I'm not saying he's going.
How bare is the cupboard that Mora left for Kelly?
I don't think there's a lot of talent there. Yeah, I really don't.
I actually thought there was a little bit more. I guess I misjudged
I see a couple of elite players, Caleb Wilson, the tight end, Jalen Phillips at defensive end.
They lost Miller at that tackle position.
Colt Miller.
Late-night D-gen pick for the late-night guys, since there's no late Hawaii
the D-gens.
Tonight. For the degenerates, in other words.
We love the degenerates.
The whole point is
that sounds like
Arizona. Let's not have to rely on that.
Doesn't we love the degenerates sound like such a Trump statement?
We are Hillary, that's what she calls us, the degenerates. But Arizona, speaking of underachievers, Arizona, Sumlin, Tate have really struggled out of the gate. I think they take some frustrations out tonight on Southern Utah, lay the 24.
Is there a total in that game? Because I would take the total in that game. I mean, Khalil Tate could run all over that defense. If they post a total in that matchup, we'll see how that plays out. I mean, be very intriguing to see if Kevin Sumlin could get his first victory as Arizona head coach. For Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next Saturday. Keep it where it is every weekend, 10 to 1 p.m. Enjoy the games.